If you have ever traveled on Route 1 in California, you know that's treacherous driving. Treacherous driving. On one side is the Pacific Ocean with drops that are scary as you go around various bends and curves. On the other side are hills and mountains, and you'll see signs, watch for falling rocks. I'm not sure what you would do in a car if you saw one, but. And then on top of that, the road is narrow at many points. And you wonder how two cars going in two different directions could get around the bend. And then on top of that, the curves in many places are such that you can't see the other guy coming. I remember many, many years ago when we were traveling on vacation and the kids were small, they asked me to please get off this road because they were scared. Signs abound. Watch for the curve. Falling rocks. Sharp bend. Slow down. Because it's treacherous driving. Much like Route 1 in California is life. Treacherous going. You don't know what's around the bend. Sometimes it looks like if you look to the right, there's disaster, but if you look to the left, there's disaster there too. And then the road you're on is so narrow. When you drive on Route 1, you must navigate the travel carefully, because there is impending danger, mile after mile after mile. Life is that way. It must be navigated carefully, because there's so many twists and turns that can breed risk and danger. There are many in this room who knows what it is to make a wrong turn on a narrow road. In our room today, there are regrets. If you wouldn't have turned that way and you would have turned this way, you wouldn't be here today. If you would have made this decision as opposed to that decision, then maybe life would have been different and maybe life would have been better. And there is the regret of not navigating carefully during the twists and turns of life. And then we have our children, our children who are being given conflicting signs about how to navigate the journey called life. The television is telling them to turn one way. Their friends are telling them to turn another way. Mom and daddy is saying, go straight. And they're getting these conflicting signals about navigating life. What does knowing God have to do with navigating life? Especially given the twists and turns and dangers of the roadway. The Bible has a word for it. It's called wisdom. Wisdom is God's word for navigating life. It is God's word for handling the twists, the tweaks, the turns, the dangers, the precipices of life. And God, knowing that life would have to be navigated, gave us a word. And the word is wisdom. We all have now cable TV on some level, and there's a channel for everything. Sports channel, movie channel, food channel, health channel, exercise channel. There is a channel for everything by the hundreds. I have yet to come across a wisdom channel. And if there was ever a channel needed today to navigate life, with all of the decisions that are being made on every level, personal, family, in the church, in the government today, we need a wisdom channel. Wisdom is designed to answer this question: how do I navigate life carefully and correctly? That's the question that wisdom is designed to answer. How do I navigate life carefully and correctly? How do I live my life in the best way possible? That's the question that wisdom seeks to answer. And Paul says in this scripture, in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So he correlates your ability to be wise to your knowledge of him. So knowing God and being wise are tied together. To put it another way, not to know God is not to be wise, and not to be wise is not to make the choices that are in your best interest for navigating life carefully and correctly. Without a control tower to navigate the plane, it's flying on its own blindly. You leave a plane up in the air or a series of planes, and there is no control tower to tell the pilot what he can't see in the clouds and above him and below him. If there's nobody bigger than him watching over him, he's on his own. Now, he might make it okay, and he might not. There needs to be something that can see where you can't see. And that's why the knowledge of God is connected to wisdom. We're telling our children, get your education, get your education. Don't stop with high school, go to college, get your education. But it's possible to be an educated fool. And many of us as parents can say that because we know. We've made those decisions. We've made those unwise choices. And we don't want them to go the same route we did. We don't want them to have to learn by experience. Except learn by my experience, not yours. What I'm simply going to tell you today is how to navigate the rest of your life wisely. I can't change yesterday. I can't change last week. I can't change last month. I can't change last year. You can't change that for me. I can't change that for you, but you still here, so we got today and tomorrow. Wisdom is the ability to navigate life carefully and correctly. To be more technical in my definition, wisdom is effectively applying divine truth to everyday life situations. It's been known as the skill of righteous living. It is applying truth to everyday life. It is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and implement the will of God regarding it. It is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and execute the will of God regarding it. So important is this subject of wisdom, God has dedicated a whole book to it. The book of Proverbs. Often unread, and yet in terms of everyday decision making, it's the most important book in the Bible. The whole theme of the book is wise decision making. He talks about finances, he talks about raising kids, you know, he talks about who your friends are, he talks about all of these decisions that we've got to make, he talks about work. There's a verse in there that tells a single woman, before you marry a man, see if he can pay for the house he built. Don't just believe him because he's talking noise. If he want romance, show me the finance. He says, you know, You better make a wise decision here. In fact, look at Proverbs chapter 2, which, now everybody want to read Proverbs, all right. That's a good thing, that's a good thing. Proverbs chapter 2, This is a parent talking to a child, because that's how wisdom is to be transferred through the family. He says, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity." Two things are needed if you're going to be a wise liver. I can't talk about last year. Maybe you made bad decisions last year, but you still got today and tomorrow. He says you need knowledge and understanding. When knowledge and understanding mate, they give birth to a baby called wisdom. When knowledge and understanding get together, there's a conception, and the baby's name is wisdom. If you and I are going to be wise, we must first have knowledge. We must have the facts. We must know the truth. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to living life. Many of us made bad decisions because we didn't have all the information. We were given a bill of goods. We were lied to. Some of you ladies would never be sitting next to the man you're sitting next to now if you knew the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Some of you men wouldn't be sitting next to the lady you're sitting next to now if you knew she was going to be like this after she said, "I do." He says you need knowledge. You need the information, the truth. What does he mean by knowledge? By knowledge, he's referring to the ability to perceive the true nature of a matter. To perceive the true nature of a matter. What's really going on here? What are you really saying? What are you really meaning? Now, the problem is we're limited. We don't know whether when somebody gives us a sentence, whether there's a paragraph behind it that they didn't say. We don't know all that information. God does. God knows what's been said and what's been hidden. God knows. That's why if you want to be wise, you must start with God's view of the matter. He says in verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. Turn back. You gotta look at this passage. It's one of the most exhaustive passages of wisdom in the Bible. And that's Job 28. Job 28. But where can wisdom be found? He says in verse 12 of Job 28. Where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, verse 13, nor is it found in the land of the living. Okay? Nor is wisdom to be found in the land of the living. The deep, that's the sea, it says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it. You can't buy wisdom. Anybody charging you for wisdom is a charlatan. And gold is up right now. Wisdom cannot be purchased, nor can silver be weighed as its price, verse 15. He goes on and talks about all the expensive things that can't give you wisdom. He raises the question, where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living. It's concealed from the birds of the sky. Verse 23, God understands its way. He knows its place or location, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the sun. Verse 28, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. He says, wisdom alone is located in God. Well, if wisdom alone is located in God, then I want the knowledge of God. I want to know what God knows. See, when we believe somebody has some more information that we don't have about stuff we want to know about, we'll quickly say to a person, tell me what you know. Tell me what you know so I can get the inside info. He says, God knows where wisdom is because he has knowledge of the ends of the earth. He has knowledge. See, the reason why you can trust God is he knows what's coming. We know what we see and hope for what's coming. So wisdom first involves knowledge. And then it also involves, we saw in Proverbs chapter 2, understanding. Knowledge is perceiving the true nature of a matter. Understanding is gathering how to use it. Understanding its purpose. Understanding what to do with it. A man one day had some machinery that was broken down and he didn't know how to repair it. So he called the repair man. He said, my machinery's not working. The repair man looked at it, reached into his toolbox, took out a little teeny hammer and hit the machine. And all of a sudden it revved up. Guy said, wow. He said, write me your bill. He wrote a bill for $1,000. He said, $1,000. He said, break down this cost. He said, $1 for the tap. $999 for knowing where to tap. Understanding has to do with knowing where to tap. Knowledge is getting the data, getting the fact, the true nature of a thing. Not just what you see, but what's really there. And understanding is being able to connect its proper purpose to it. Using it, utilizing it. He says in the passage just read in Proverbs chapter 2, he says, wisdom is like a man searching for silver. Silver is underneath the ground. If you want to get some silver, you're going to dig for it. All these valuable metals, if you want a diamond, you got to dig for some coal. God's got all this valuable stuff, oil, all this valuable stuff underneath the ground. People spend billions of dollars to dig deep to get value, but won't lift a finger to get wisdom. But he says wisdom is like coal, silver, gold, oil, all that valuable stuff. God wants to know, like any football coach wants to say, how bad do you want it? I'm not just going to lay diamonds all out and silver all out on the road just so people who just want a cheap thrill or a quick rich can just walk by and grab it. No, no, no. That valuable stuff you dig for. You remember growing up as kids and they had the prizes in the cereal box. And our desire was to dig through the cereal to get to the prize. But the prizes were at the bottom of the box. The idea is eat your way to it. It's in there, but you eat your way because the purpose of the box is to feed you. We want you to be willing to eat your way to the prize. So my mom and daddy would never let us dig through the cereal, skip the cereal to get to the prize. We had to eat our way to the prize. God says the knowledge of God is like a man searching for silver. God wants to know, how bad do you want it? Don't tell me you want to be wise, but you won't open up your Bible to the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
Yes. Don't tell me you want to be wise and you never raise the question, what does God say about this? What does God think about this? Well, boy, you mean to tell me I'm going to have to study my Bible? I'm going to have to go get a book that shows me what God says about this? Or I got to go to another Christian to get advice? You mean I got to do all that? I operate by my instincts. I don't want to do all that. Then you won't get silver. You won't get diamond. You're going to get cut glass. You're not going to get leather. You're going to get pleather. Because God knows how valuable wisdom is, so he does not provide it cheaply. You can't buy it, but you have to want it enough to go to him for it. Wisdom affects decision making. It is getting divine insight into a matter. It is getting God's view and then how he wants you to manage his view in this scenario. He called it, in our passage we read in Ephesians 1:17, he called it a spirit of wisdom. So guess what? Wisdom is a spirit. Wisdom is a spirit. It's not a thing, it's a spirit. Therefore, divine wisdom can only be ascertained spiritually. Spiritually. But because we don't value the divine, and we go by our own instincts, our own child rearing, our own, what our friends think, what the media says, what people say, all of that. We go to that and we look for that for wisdom. And we are duped over and over and over. Some of us ought to be tired of being duped. Some of you ladies ought to be tired of being used. Because somebody has a great line and somebody can take you to dinner and somebody can drive a nice car and somebody, you know, he's got all the external paraphernalia. And then when he gets what he wants, you can't find him. You were duped. See, wisdom makes you ask other questions. Wisdom makes you ask other scenarios. Wisdom is never impressed with the dress, the talk, and the look. You can learn to be a playa playa. But wisdom isn't impressed with that. And there are many, many other scenarios. Proverbs talks about debt and the fact that people are in debt because they're unwise. America is in debt because it's unwise. This is a real simple principle. You don't spend beyond what you make. It ain't that deep. And see, what we come to God for is bailouts. Bail me out. It's like our children coming up. Bail me out. I'm on drugs, but bail me out. I'm an alcoholic, but bail me out. Bail me out. Bail me out. Bail me out. And then we get upset. Why won't God bail me out? Because he doesn't want to keep bailing you out. He wants wisdom on the front end. This is a parent talking to a child. My son. My son. That's what you ought to be talking to your children about, or people over whom you have influence. It's about wisdom. God's view of a matter. It's a spirit. God wants you to understand spiritual realities. That's why when he comes back in Ephesians 1, he prays a prayer because he wants them to have wisdom and the knowledge of him. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I want the light to come on in your heart, not just with your two eyes. I want your spiritual understanding to be lifted. I want the veil to be lifted so you see what God sees. Wisdom. Look at James 3. James 3 is the most comprehensive contrast between human wisdom and divine wisdom. I'm going to read these verses, verses 13 to 18. Who among you is wise and understand him? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant, so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. He says there are two kinds of wisdoms, and there are only two. Human wisdom and divine wisdom. That's it. Man's point of view and God's point of view. Those are the only points of view. Humanism and theism. There are only two viewpoints. Man's view, God's view. Man's view comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. As many people as you can talk to, that's as many opinions as you can get. And I don't know about you, sometimes I get just tired of all the different views I hear when I talk to people. There's only one kind of person you should talk to as a Christian. And that is a person who's going to give you God's point of view. I'm saving you a lot of time, headache, and for some of you, money. There's a palm reader. Years ago, I drove by that palm reader. It was a shack. Now that thing all bricked up and girlfriend living large. Because people are going to her to read lines on your hand to tell you about the decisions you ought to make. You got to have lost your ever-loving mind to have somebody reading lines on your hands to help you make a decision for money. Then you picking up the newspaper looking at horoscopes to find out how the stars are aligned and how it relates to your sign and all that kind of foolishness. That's foolishness. What sign am I? I'm going to show you a fish. I'm a Christian. That's my sign. What sign are you? That is ignorant. I'm ticked off. That's just ignorant. The Bible calls it another word. Romans 1 calls it idolatry. Because you're looking at the creation to give you guidance rather than the creator of the creation. That's why he calls human wisdom demonic. He says it's fed by demons. So a lot of folk you're getting advice from, hell is telling them what to tell you. He calls it demonic information. The only information Christians should be getting about decision making is from people who are going to give you God's point of view. Because we're talking about a spirit of wisdom. Human wisdom and divine wisdom are mutually exclusive. Human wisdom may provide you temporary relief and escape, but divine wisdom provides you a cure. See, many of you don't know that as early in my teenage years, I almost died. I was an asthmatic, and I would regularly have asthma attacks that would be horrific. And I'm just gasping for breath. So I got rushed to the hospital. And I'm there. And they came and they gave me a shot to open up my lungs. But this intern gave me the wrong medicine. And I can see my father standing over me now with tears in his eyes, not knowing whether his son was going to make it because I was given the wrong stuff to make me better. Too many of us are being given the wrong stuff. And we wonder why we're not better. We wonder why we're still sick as a dog. We wonder why we're not making life work better. Life is bad enough than to be getting wrong information. He says human wisdom will always leave you in confusion. He says human wisdom will give you disorder. He says human wisdom will give you selfish ambition. You'll become arrogant with human wisdom. When Jonathan, my youngest son, was in college, he had pit bulls. I don't know what got into this boy. He done lost his mind. He's in college, and he's got pit bulls, and he had the nerve to bring three pit bulls from college to my house because he came home for the weekend. He's raising these pit bulls, and he had the pit bulls tied up on the lawn. There's a little lamppost in my backyard, and he was untying a couple of the pit bulls to walk them, and they wrapped themselves around the post. He was trying to get them to go back to unwrap themselves around the post, but they kept coming forward because they knew that he was going to go forward, but he's trying to get them to go back so they can unwrap themselves so that they can go forward. They didn't want to deal with the unwrap. They wanted to just come forward. So the more forward they came, the more tied up they became, because they were insisting on going forward when they needed to go backward to unwrap themselves. But one thing you need to know about pit bulls is they got big heads. Those are some big-headed dogs. And with all that brain up in their big heads, they weren't smart enough to unwrap themselves because they wanted to keep going their own way. Too many of God's children got big heads. We're insisting on our own way. And the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is destruction. Big-headed Christians. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a big-headed Christian? Say, are you a spiritual pit bull? You see, the problem, brothers and sisters, is that our human understanding has been limited by two things. Two things. Sin has distorted our ability to see things clearly. And finiteness means we're limited. We're limited. We only can see so much. Even the correct things we see, we can only see so much of it because we are limited by time and space. That's what makes God different. He has no sin and he's infinite. So he can never make a bad calculation, and he knows all the information about any subject you can raise. So there's no subject you can come up with that God doesn't know the information on completely already. And that's why the Bible says that God loves to make man's wisdom look foolish. There is human wisdom, and then he says there is wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom. God's perspective and application of the reality of navigating life. And let me tell you what you can't do. You can't mix the two. You can't mix them. Tell you what I want you to do. When you go fill up your car next time, put half unleaded and half diesel. Mix them. All of it's gasoline. You just say, well, it's all gasoline. I got diesel gas and I got... Go ahead and mix them. And watch the diesel kill the unleaded. Watch it destroy the engine because you just think it's gasoline. I don't like apples. I don't like apples. Apples are not my, you know, I know an apple a day to keep the, you know, doctor away, you know, all that. I know that, but I don't like apples. Except at the Texas State Fair. I love them apples. Because them are candy apples at the Texas State Fair. Now, I'll eat a candy apple. But my doctor told me, soon as they dip that apple in that liquid sugar, it has canceled out the apple's nutritional value.
Yes.
The benefit of the apple has been canceled because I mixed it. See, we're going to come to church today, and we're going to hear God's truth, then we're going to leave church, and we're going to dip it in what my friends say. Dip it in what the newspaper says. Dip it in what the television says. Dip it in what I think. And everything we hear today, we're going to cancel out. Because we tried to mix it. Whole food stores are popping up all over the place. Whole food stores are popping up all over the place. Why? Because people want food that has not been contaminated with pesticides and all this stuff, because we understand that the more organic a food is, the better it's going to be. Natural stores are popping up because we want things where man hasn't messed over it. And what we wind up doing is canceling out. I first started riding horses at Pine Cove with Anthony. He got in the horses and he told me, get on, ride a horse. And so I got on a horse, and I had seen enough Westerns to know what to do. I had seen Rawhide and Gunsmoke and Bonanza and the Rifleman. I knew what to do. So I got up on the horse with my pit bull self. I got up on the horse and I said, hi. Giddy up. Kicked it on the side. I knew what to do. But something was wrong with my horse. This horse was, I was on crazy horse. This horse was crazy. This horse was crazy. Because this horse would go up and then go back and go up and go back. I called the wrangler over. I said, something is wrong with this horse. Because I'm going, giddy up. Because I knew what to do. I'd seen the Westerns. I kicked it and the horse was crazy. The rider came over and started laughing. He said, you can't go. Giddy up. Ha! Why, pulling back on the reins. You can't do it. That horse is confused. He don't know whether you want to go forward, stay still, or go back. You've confused it. You're going, ha! Giddy up. And God's got a lot of confused Christians. Because we'll say in a minute, ride on, King Jesus. While we listen to our friends and hold Jesus back. I got to stop. This is getting too good to me. Wisdom is a spirit, the spirit of wisdom. It's a way of operating. So here's how it works. Here's the way most people do. They go and find what everybody else thinks, and when it doesn't work out, then they want to go to God. That's how we do it. That's how we roll. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? You start with what the Spirit thinks, and then you've just saved time from talking to a million other people. Because now the Holy Spirit can talk to your human spirit on how to take the knowledge you gain from God's perspective and apply it to your situation. And the way he does that is by bringing thoughts to your mind that settle in your heart, and you know what to do. That's how it works. You go to God based on his word and find out what he says about this. Yeah, it's going to be a little digging. You're going to have to cut off the television and try to find out what does God say about this, because the silver is underneath the ground. But if you dig enough, you'll find out how he wants you to handle this. You talk to the right people or read the right books to deal with that subject and find out how he wants to handle that. And you do it on the front end, not the back end. When you do it on the front end and then you gain the knowledge, and then in prayer, you call on the Holy Spirit to show you how to use that information in this situation. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring spiritual thoughts, 1 Corinthians 2, into your mind based on spiritual words that you've gained from the Word of God. He will give you spiritual thoughts. He will settle that thought in your heart so that you hear God's voice. And when you do, when you start hearing God talk to you about the specific thing you ask him about. See, the problem with this sermon today is it's general. I'm not talking about all the different issues here. I'm just general. You need to hear a specific word. Wisdom is designed to give you specific guidance and specific scenarios. That's what wisdom is designed to do. But it's based on you getting the general knowledge of how God feels about different things. Based on that knowledge, the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to get specific, to illuminate you to the specific application. And the times in my life where I have listened to the Spirit of God first, it was phenomenal to see the wisdom God gave. And remember, when that wisdom comes, it involves things that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. He's going to give you stuff you would have never thought to come up with on your own. And it's hard as for parents to teach this to your children if you're not doing it for you. What wisdom does is what a plane does. It takes you to a higher level of looking. If you've ever been up in a plane, you know things look differently from up there than on the ground. Because you're getting the big picture now. And here's where it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind when many of the things God leads you through the Holy Spirit to do will be different than you would have ever come up with yourself. Who would have thought God would have told Joshua to walk around a wall for 7 days, on the seventh day walk around it 7 times, and then scream? And that's how we're going to solve your Jericho problem. He wouldn't have ever come up with something like that. Who would have thought God would have taken 30,000 men and told Gideon to bring them down to 300 because 30,000 is too many for this battle? Who ever heard too many soldiers? And with 300, he routed the enemy. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that God would get Moses' attention through a bush that would not burn? Who would have thought that God would have provided salvation by becoming a man? Who would have thunk it? Who would have thought that God would have told the wisest man that ever lived, you tell them two mamas who are fighting over that baby to slice that baby in half, and that's how we're going to find out who the real mother is. That's not a normal way of solving a problem. But when God begins to share his thoughts with you because you come to him first and you're willing to dig for silver underneath the ground, and then you see how God is real because he's leading you and directing your path. Because you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. You're not leaning to your own understanding. In all your ways, you're acknowledging him, and he is directing your path. One of the great benefits of knowing God is wisdom. We can't fix yesterday. And you may be still reeling from some of the mistakes of bad decisions yesterday. But let me tell you how good God is at what he does. He can still hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. Even though you're in a bad situation because of bad decisions, he can show you how to make the best of a bad scenario. That's how good he is. How to unwrap yourself